It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports. Well, if anybody is excited about this spring, it's got to be the folks in the local Minnesota, Wisconsin chapters of the Mycological Society, because I would imagine that as wet as it's going to be, there's going to be many fungus among us. And John Lamtrek is on the phone this morning. I bet you're so tired of that joke, you just can't even see straight, John, right?
No, I really always introduce myself as being a fun guy. So.
Oh, I like that. I like it. Mycological has to do with the study of fungus. So that's, for all practical purposes, that's like mushrooms, right?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a much larger kingdom than just mushrooms. Mushrooms is the primary thing that most people think of when they think about fungi. But it's a separate kingdom that actually was elevated to kingdom status back in 1969, separated from the plant kingdom because they're markedly different.
Wow, kingdoms, cool. I always think someday maybe I'll have one of my own, but that's another story. So one of the things that I think is so cool about this, well, first of all, I would imagine that having a society of people that go out and look for fungus together, whether it's mushrooms or you're just looking for cool things to look at, probably, if for no other reason, cuts down drastically on the chances that you're going to get really, really sick eating something you oughtn't.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of the best methods of making sure you keep yourself safe is get together with like-minded individuals who actually are very knowledgeable, and you just share knowledge. It's a great resource for all of us. I'm self-taught, having married into a family who came from a tradition of hunting mushrooms in Northeast Iowa, and that's how I got started, and we share a lot of information, and a lot of the more seasoned veterans from our Mycological Society, Ron Spinoza, Hannah Garanday, Gene Kramer from up there on the North Shore, have shared their knowledge with all of us over the years, and continue to do so.
The other thing I think that is marvelous is that you don't just go out looking for mushrooms or fungus. You go on forays. And I'm a person who really loves words, and I really like the fact that it's not just, come on, let's go look for mushrooms. It's like, no, we'll schedule a foray.
Well, it does sound very exciting and everything.
It does.
When you get right down to it, it just means a mushroom hunt, but that's okay.
Well, but it sounds a lot more festive somehow.
Oh, it does, and we are a fun group. I'm not going to even go there with the next joke. But we do enjoy our social time together. Many of our friends, we've developed great friendships in the society. But we also, in addition to looking for mushrooms, most of us join the Mycological Society looking for edible mushrooms because that's the first thing that pops into our head. But as we get into the club, we start to realize that learning the science involved is so much a key to actually understanding the identification and really why mushrooms do what they do, what they are. After all, they're only the fruit body of a much larger organism. So many of us, actually, that's a big aha moment when people actually bring that to our attention, that, you know, you're just looking at a fruit, you're looking at an apple, and the tree is out of sight, out of mind, under the ground, and it's been thriving for years, and you're only out there harvesting the fruit.
Whenever you learn more about something, we forget this. I mean, it's like we have to be taught it afresh every single day. But when you learn more about something, the more you learn about it, the more interesting it becomes.
Absolutely. Very much so. I mean, I never in my wildest dreams would I have thought, you know, 10 years ago when I joined the club or joined the society, that I'd be sitting one day being interviewed by a radio station. I'd been on Minnesota Bound on a segment there. It's just wild to me.
When did you first, you know, you talked about how you married into this family. So you were probably like, I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to go along with this thing. I'm going to throw myself into this thing because that's what, you know, being a good partner is all about. When did you first find yourself in rhapsodies over a mushroom or a fungus that you'd found and realized, oh, my God, look what I've become?
Well, it was much more of an appreciation of nature, which I always had growing up. I grew up in Waterloo, Iowa, which is the big city when you're from Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the big cities. My wife is from the Decorah area in northeast Iowa, so much more rural, and her family was interested in it. I mean, they did a lot of hunting and fishing. I always had an interest in that, and when I went along with them on mushroom hunts, I was raised to be terrified of mushrooms. Stemming from the botulism scare back in the 50s where canned mushrooms killed a number of people because of botulism poisoning. It could have been it was just in the canning process. It had nothing to do with the mushrooms.
Oh, but they used to scare us regularly about things that you found in cans, and dented cans meant instant death, and yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, also, you know, mushrooms got a really bad rap that they're rubbery, they have terrible texture, there's no nutrition, blah, 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 which nothing could be further from the truth. Of our edible mushrooms here that we can find in Minnesota, dozens of different kinds, they have different flavors, different textures, different uses, they have medicinal benefits in addition to just tasting good. So, but you really need to know what you're doing, and a healthy caution is very, very, very important, because we also have deadly mushrooms in Minnesota.
Right. So you do have to, obviously, you do have to go out with a group as you're learning. It's kind of like, don't swim alone and don't go mushroom hunting alone.
Absolutely. And then also having a couple of good books. One good book is not necessarily enough. So you need to have field guides. You need to have a couple of them, actually, because, I mean, the pictures that are in there, the texts that are in there, are not going to satisfy necessarily everything that you see, and having a couple of things to go back and forth. Relying on the Internet can help, but we've also seen some bad postings on the Internet from time to time, and we as a society actually will work to try to correct some of those when we run across them. We work with the Bell Museum and the University of Minnesota, with the Department of Agriculture, with Poison Control, with a number of other groups to try to help out and provide assistance to those organizations. Our society has been around since 1899, and it's been serving the general populace of the state of Minnesota ever since then.
Well, first of all, I'm shocked that there's misinformation available on the Internet. That's going to cause me to rethink my entire life view. But do you have a couple of recommendations for books, or maybe a good starter book if somebody is interested in maybe beginning this? Of course, with the proviso that if you're going to get started, you've got to go out with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yes, I do have a couple in particular, and, you know, this one is not trying to be self-serving. I didn't write it, but actually two of our members did. It's Mushrooms of the Upper Midwest, and it can be found in many of the bookstores of the state parks and other places. You can find it on Amazon. It's written by Teresa Maroney and Kathy Urich, Mushrooms of the Upper Midwest. It's a very, very citizen scientist friendly book. It's got great pictures, great photographs, and it's small enough to carry with you in the woods.
Fabulous.
That's one of them. And then there's another one that's a little bit more in depth. It's called The Mushrooms of the Midwest by Michael Kuo and Andrew Methven. And this book has, it really covers the bases for the Midwest, focusing maybe a little bit more on the Great Lakes area, but most of the mushrooms actually, you know, translate well here, and many of the names have been changed and updated because there's been a lot of movement and changes because of DNA studies and DNA analysis, where we're realizing that many of the common names or scientific names that we used for our mushrooms are actually Asian or European species, and there are some differences here of what we find in the United States.
Interesting. Well, we'll get a couple of links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find information about the societies and the books that you recommended. The Minnesota Mycological Society just had your annual mushroom cooking demo on Monday, so we missed it.
It was fabulous. It was very nice.
But there are events coming up in Cable. It looks like the Wisconsin Mycological Society is maybe going to have their Northwoods foray in July. Those dates are tentative at this point. But we'll get the link set up so it'll be easy for folks to find more information. John, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
In MinnesotaMycologicalSociety.org is our website. Check it out. And you can always get in touch with us.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks again, John.
Thank you.
John Lamtruck is the president of the Minnesota Mycological Society, and he joined us this morning as our guest on Green Visions.